This is episode 12 of season 4 of The Bad Apples. My name's Klaatu, I'm going to be your host today, and we're going to be talking about IRSSI. We're going to be talking a lot about IRSSI. We're also going to be talking about Ohio Linux Fest, and then I'm going to take you on a tour of such internet sites as textfiles.com and kernelnewbies.org. So let's get started. IRC asked me about IRSSI and if I'd done a tutorial on it, and I didn't think I did, and sure enough I didn't. So I decided that actually might be a good idea to do a little bit more of a how-to on IRSSI than I have in the past. And in the past, I think in season 2, I said, IRSSI is great, it's wonderful, here's how to use it. And I gave like 3 commands just to get people into IRC. Well, maybe you're into IRC by now, and maybe you're looking to either use something more terminal-based and less GUI-based, or maybe you're already using the terminal-based solutions, but you want to know a little bit more about what you can do with it. And I am by no means an expert on IRSSI or even IRC. I mean, it's not like I'm not one of those people who've been, IRCing since like 1994 or anything. But I reckon a little bit of usage of IRSSI starts to grow on you, and you start to kind of, look into commands that make your life a little bit easier. So let's start from the beginning, and we'll build it up a little bit further. So here's what I know about IRSSI. And as always, if you, dear listener, have more information on something or some tips or something like that, feel free to email me or chat me or whatever, and let me know about these things, and I will pass them on to our friends, our other listeners. The beginning: IRSSI, terminal-based IRC client. Once again, like I said back in season 2, I think it was, I actually find IRSSI far more intuitive than any of the GUI-based clients that I've seen. The GUI-based ones that I've tried in my time have been, I think, XChat, ChatZilla, which is the Firefox plugin. Very good. All of these are good. Conversation, Pigeon, and actually I think there was an OS X client way back when called Colloquy, like a colloquialism, but it's Colloquy. I mean, all of these are great clients, and I like them all, but for some reason, and maybe it's just because when you first, quite possibly if you're someone just starting to IRC, your basis for the idea of what a chat is more like IM stuff. And so when you open up a client that might even double, like Pigeon, that does IMing, that does IRCing, it does everything, right, that I can think of. So it's kind of like you want it to be like an IM session or something, and it's not. So you have to kind of get used to this sort of strange beast of internet relay chat. So the way that you start IRSSI is, well, obviously typing in IRSSI into a terminal, correct? Or wrong? Well, I mean, yes, but there's a better way. So you do IRSSI space dash dash nick, and then whatever nickname you want to use. So when I started, I do IRSSI space dash dash nick, not Klaatu. And I do not Klaatu because that is my nickname on the Freenode network. That's my registered nickname, and I'll get into that in a little bit. If you do not set a nick, if you don't say dash dash nick, it's going to literally take your username and it's going to use that as your nick. So if I just started IRSSI, it's going to start up, and it's going to give me the nick Klaatu. And Klaatu is actually owned by someone else on Freenode who's probably been IRCing since 1994. And I didn't realize that everyone using a computer wants to be called Klaatu when I chose that as my nickname. So, when my parents named me Klaatu. So IRSSI space dash dash nick space not Klaatu starts it up with my nickname as not Klaatu. You're dropped into a blank IRSSI session with 2 blue bars, one at the top, one at the bottom. Well, they're blue on my screen, and I have a black background with white text, so I think I have Linux colors preset on console if you're using console. So that's what you see, and you get a little bit of a prompt, a little bit of an IRSSI prompt. I forget what it looks like because I don't look at it that often, I guess. Let's see. Control. Well, it probably says status at this point. So that's the IRSSI prompt. And to join an actual server, because in order to internet relay chat, you have to kind of be on a network where there are chats happening, where there are channels, where there's that IRC infrastructure. The big one that everyone goes to, I guess, is irc.freenode.net. Now, the way to get there, or to any server, is you type in /server, and that's a forward slash. So you do /server, and then space irc.freenode.net. And now that forward slash is what you're going to prepend to any command that you issue to IRSSI. So any kind of command, you're going to put a forward slash in front of it. So that's something that you're going to find you're doing a lot of in IRSSI. And the nice thing about this is that if you use GNU FreeTalk for your IM client, if you're on Jabber and you're using FreeTalk, it uses that method as well, the forward slash to be the command, which is kind of nice because it starts to feel a lot like IRC. So we just do a forward slash server and then space irc.freenode.net. It'll take a moment to log in and everything, or connect rather. And if your nickname is taken by someone, it will warn you. Your nick is owned by someone else. If this is you, authenticate. If not, you might want to choose a different nickname. So when I sign in, it tells me, actually I don't remember if it actually tells me that NotClatu is owned by someone. It might. And then what I do is I authenticate. But let's not get there yet. So we're on the server right now, but we're not in a channel. We're just staring at this status screen. And this is where we get messages. This is where we could issue the command /help to get a whole list of all the little commands that we could issue in IRSSI. So you can do a /help. You'll also see like messages of the day and stuff like that that the Freenode people have put onto their server. So there's that. Now to scroll up in a screen in IRSSI, you just simply page up or page down. So don't use the scroll bar or anything, because then you're just going to scroll up in your bash. Your terminal window. So since you're in IRSSI, you need to use the page up or the page down to actually navigate, you know, to the previous screen fulls. Because sometimes, especially when you log into a server, I mean, there's a lot of text a lot of times. You don't necessarily have to read it all, but you can. And if you want to, page up until you reach the top, start reading, and then to go down, page down. And I think it takes it by half screen fulls when you're going down. And possibly up as well. So anyway, what you want to do now is you want to join a channel. And the channels are little rooms in the server that exist where you can go and chat with other people. /join /#, that is an octothorpe or a pound sign, Linux Cranks. And then you will be dropped into the Linux Cranks channel. Immediately you'll see a topic, you'll see a list of all the names of the people in the channel. You might get some messages from the from Freenode about, you know, what setting you've got, or you know, the fact that you're allowed to speak, or you know, just whatever. But at that point you're pretty much using IRSSI. You're done. Those are the basics. Now you can start talking to people. You just kind of chat. And now this is a big room. This is like a big room full of people. People are just shouting and talking. When people start typing stuff, you're gonna see stuff getting typed into the screen, and they're not necessarily talking to you. This isn't a one-on-one conversation. This is just like a big public room, and everyone is talking. Now, if you want to address someone specifically, the way to do that traditionally is you simply start typing their name. So let's say you go into Linux Cranks, you see that I'm there, you want to say something to me. So you would hit, you would type not, because again, my nickname is NotClatu. So you type not, and then you can hit tab, and it should complete it for you, auto-complete it, NotClatu. And then it'll say colon, and then a space, and then you can start typing. So just not tab, and then start typing the message, hey, Clatu. And what that'll do for me is it'll light up on my IRSSI session. My name will be bright yellow, and I'll get a little notification in my status bar of IRSSI that, hey, someone's mentioned my name. And that's it. That's what you do. And of course, like I say, these are public conversations, so whatever you say to me is going to be read by everyone else in that channel, potentially. So you wouldn't want to say, like, not Clatu, hi Clatu, isn't Monster B stupid? You know, you wouldn't want to say that, well, unless Monster B isn't around. But, I mean, if he is, then you wouldn't want to say that unless you really intend, you know, for Monster B to find out that you think he's stupid, which wouldn't be very nice anyway, so you oughtn't to do that. Now, that's the wonderful thing about the whole concept of private messaging. Private messaging is a little bit confusing sometimes, and we're going to get into it in a little bit, but there are a few people who use it a lot better than other people, and one of these people is Terry F., well-known in the IRC Linux channels, and he's a real expert at private messaging and stuff like that. So if you ever have any questions about it, just ask Terry F. He'll tell you all you'd ever want to know about private messaging. But some people call it PMing private messaging. So you can actually join lots of different channels. And like I say, I mean, a lot of times what you'll find, especially in this little podcast niche crowd community thing, people will be signed in to like a dozen different channels. Like they'll be in Linux Basement, Linux Outlaws, a lot of Linux Links, Linux Cranks. I'm probably leaving out some of my favorite shows, but a lot of other people will be in their favorite project channels. Like I'll be in #KDE sometimes, or #... Slackware, or #Fedora-Art, or you know, just whatever different channel is out there for the project that you're interested in, you might be in there. You might be private messaging someone, which actually opens up as almost basically its own channel. So you can be in lots of different channels at one time. And to get back and forth between those different channels, it's either Control-N for next or Control-P for previous. So if you're in, let's say that you've done a /join #LinuxCranks. Well, now if you do a /join lot of Linux links, after you hit return, you'll be dropped into a lot of Linux links. And again, you'll see the topic, the message of the day, the list of people in the channel, and then you can start talking there. But never fear, you haven't actually left LinuxCranks. So you can go back with Control-P, and you'll be back in a lot of in LinuxCranks, and you can talk to, you know, whoever's there and not in a lot of Linux links. Realistically, again, a lot of these people are all in the same channel anyway, so kind of weird, but let's say that you were in Linux Cranks and then you decided, I'm going to go check out, you know, Linux Mint, or let's stop using the word Linux for a moment, Fedora. So you go to #Fedora. Well, now you've got Linux Cranks and then you got Fedora, so you can type to people in Fedora. Maybe you're asking a very Fedora-specific question or something, or helping out a noob or something. You can type in there, and then you can Control-P back over to Linux Cranks and check out what people are kidding around about over there, and then you can get tired of all the silliness, and you can go back to Fedora for some serious stuff, etc. So that is how you manage lots of different channels. And you're going to notice in that bottom status bar, the bottom blue bar in IRSSI, little numbers starting to appear. And those little numbers represent the channels that you're in. So the first channel, I think it might start with 2, because I think the first channel you're in counts as the status menu. But anyway, you'll see channel little numbers, and when something happens in a channel that you're not in right now, that number will appear. And it'll be like yellow, like in mine is yellow. It'll be a yellow number, and that just means that something happened in that channel. So if I'm in Fedora, channel 2 might, like a little number 2 might pop up in my status bar on the far right, and I'll know that something happened over in Linux Cranks. I'm not in there right now, but I can see that something happened. So I can Control-P to see what, you know, to go to the previous screen, Linux Cranks, and now I can see what happened. And sometimes it's something as trivial as 330 changing his nick to 330 AFK, away from keyboard, to, you know, something, just someone saying something really interesting. More importantly, if someone says your name, that channel number will appear in red. So if someone says not Klaatu, then the little two representing Linux Cranks will appear in red in my status bar, and I'll switch back and I'll see it, and then I can respond. It's very handy. The reason that these are numbers, and the reason that they're seem fairly arbitrary, is because it's just literally in the order in which you join the channels. So if one day you join Fedora first and then Linux Cranks, well, Fedora is going to be channel number 2 and Linux Cranks is going to be 3, whereas yesterday you joined them in the opposite order, so it's going to be 2 and 3. There's a way around this. There's a little plugin that you can use, which I will get to in a moment, and that will help you, or potentially that can help you change those numbers from numbers and make them into letters that perhaps you can, you know, better associate it with, oh, that's that channel. But again, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. So hopefully you get the idea more or less of how to navigate between channels. It's basically Control-N and Control-P, and for every join #channel name, that'll open up a new little screen, and that's what you'll, you know, it'll drop you into that channel, and you can get away from that channel or go back to that channel with Control-N or Control-P. So that's all about joining and switching channels. Now, what if you just want to leave a channel altogether? I mean, maybe you joined Linux Cranks and found it altogether too silly. Or maybe you've joined Fedora and had some questions to ask and you had them answered and so you're ready to leave. The way to do that would be /win, W-I-N, space C, and that is just an abbreviation for close. So /win, space C, closes that screen, and if it's a channel, then it's, you know, you're leaving that channel. It might not be a channel. It could be some kind of message window where you've identified yourself with your password for your registered nickname. It might tell you, yes, you've been confirmed. You are really who you say you are. That'll sometimes pop up into its own little window. And it's not a big deal, but now when you do a control in, you have to kind of go through some old stale message windows. So a lot of times I'll go to those and I'll /win see those. Note that that does not disconnect you from the server. It simply makes you leave that channel. If you're finished with IRSSI, you're finished on IRC that night or whatever, and you decide to leave for good, then you can do /exit, and that will quit IRSSI. Note that a lot of people practically never close their IRSSI session, and you can do that if you want. You can leave it open for as long as you want, and one of the ways to kind of let people know that you're not actually sitting there in front of your computer is to simply change your nickname to something with, you know, AFK or away or something like that, or, you know, asleep, you know, whatever, kind of a status thing. And to do that, you just do a /nick and then your new nicknames. In some channels, this annoys people because they don't want to see that kind of information. They don't want to hear about you being away or not away or whatever. You really kind of have to make sure that you're, you're following the rules of the most strict channel. Now, a lot of those people will just ignore all the public announcements or the public activity, like the leaving and the joining and the changing of the nicks and stuff like that. But some of them don't, and they just don't want you to mark yourself away and all that other good stuff. Or rather, they don't want you to change your nick to something away or whatever. So you kind of have to follow the rules of the most strict channel that you're in, basically. It's kind of like the lowest or the highest common denominator or something. Now, one thing that you can do also is simply mark yourself away, truly mark yourself away, and that's a separate command. It's just a lot of people, I guess, think of it as a lot less noticeable, because in the lower traffic channels, I don't know, when you mark yourself away, it kind of announces, hey, I'm away now, and people can see that, and okay, that's nice. Like I say, just know the channel that you're in, kind of read their message of the day or their topic, and if it says, you know, do not mark yourself away, or rather, you know, do not name yourself away, or something like that, follow that rule. But in terms of marking yourself away, like setting away, you simply type in /away and then your name. And you will know that you are marked away indeed by a series of Z's or Z's, Z, 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 in your status bar. And the status bar, again, is that bottom blue bar. So let's talk about that status bar really quick. That bottom blue bar from left to right contains the time, your local time, contains your nickname, not Klaatu in my case. And then after that, it'll have a series of letters, which will probably seem sort of cryptic sometimes. And I don't really know all the different letters, but there's a letter for things like, okay, you've been you've got a registered nickname and you've been authenticated. There are letters for you have operator privileges in certain channels, meaning that you have like special privileges, like you can kick people out of the channel and stuff like that. There are letters for whether you have a voice or not in a channel. Some channels are pretty strict, and they literally, you can't talk. You can read, but you can't talk. Some channels are even stricter, and you can't even get in unless you're, like, on their little invite list. It just kind of depends on, on the channel, but that's what that's all about. And then it tells you what server you're on, and then it tells you where there's been activity. And that, again, is it's called ACT, A-C-T. And that shows you the letters, and it'll highlight the channel where there's been activity since you last navigated away from it. So registering your nickname is a pretty good idea, because it kind of protects your online identity. After you've been in IRC, really just a couple of days, I mean, after a while, you become known there. People, when they see you, they will talk to you. And if you've chosen, you know, a nickname like mine, Klaatu. I mean, for a while I was using Klaatu, and then I changed it to Klaatu X, just to, you know, append it with something, and I think I tried a couple of different other things, and finally I settled on not Klaatu, and that kind of became my IRC identity, and now people know that when I'm on IRC, not Klaatu is me. It is this Klaatu, not five other Klaatus out there that you get when you do a PGP key server search for Klaatu. You know, you get like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 Klaatus, and then I'm sure if you look it up on the internet, I'm sure you'd find a dozen other Klaatus out there. Not Klaatu turns out to be pretty unique, and so when I realized that that was something that wasn't really, no one else was really using on the interweb, I figured I should probably go ahead and register that. And registering it is really, really, really easy. Again, I would probably wait till you find a good nick that you like, but once you do, you simply do a /msg /nickserve, and that is, oddly enough, NICKSERV. Correct, there is no E at the end. Nickserve without the E. /register /password, and that's not just the word password, that's what password you want to use from now on. You want, this is going to be your password of your nick. So that needs to be something distinct, but it also needs to be something unique from your other passwords. And the reason is because, trust me, you are going to accidentally type in your password into a channel sometime. Trust me. Dave Yates had a show about this once. He did it himself in like one of the probably the worst channels you could ever do that in. But as he says, he said this, you know, he had a unique password just for IRC, and so the fact that, you know, he just typed it into the channel by accident meant really nothing. It just meant that he had to change that, and that was all he had to worry about. He didn't have to worry about people now knowing his, you know, password for everything else he ever does online. So please, unique password. And then finally, your email address that you want to, you know, you're going to need to check this email for confirmation and stuff like that, I'm sure. I don't really remember, but so that is /msg /nickserve without the E at the end. Register, and then whatever password you want, and then your email address. And that's what you type in. You press return. I'm sure they send you a confirmation or something, and then you're in. That's your registered nickname from then on. And from then on, whenever you do, you know, the whole IRSSI --NICK/server/irc.freenode.net to join the server, right after that, what you can do is do a message nickserve, so that's /msg /nickserve without the E at the end, and then identify, and then your password. Okay, so it's /msg /nickserve/identify, and then your password. You don't need to put in your username because your username is already what you're signed in, your nickname. You know, I mean, that's when you started IRSSI, as long as you did that --NICK nickname, then that it knows what you're trying to identify as. It just wants your password that you created. And it'll give you a little flag somewhere, like a +E or a +I or a +O or something. And that's how you know that, yes, you've been identified. And when people see you, if they really, you know, if you're starting to, if you act a little bit out of character, a lot of times people will do a /who is, not Klaatu. And it'll show you them all your information, your IP address, your host name, your username, your, what channels you're in, whether you're away or not. And it'll show them details. And if you're not really, you know, if someone's just logged in while you weren't on IRC today, you were on vacation, someone decides, oh, I'm going to go impersonate not Klaatu and say really weird things about, you know, Linux, and I'm going to say that I've switched back to Mac and stuff. You know, I start doing that, people are going to investigate and they're going to see, oh, this guy hasn't even identified himself as really being not Klaatu, so I don't think this is really Klaatu. And then when I get back, I'll identify myself and they'll figure out what happened. Protect your identity by registering your nickname. And I think there are other reasons that Freenode wants you to register, maybe, you know, so that they can see how many users they have and stuff. I don't really know, but it's a good idea anyway. So to private message someone, that is to talk to them outside of a channel, and even actually it kind of opens up its own little channel. You simply type in /msg and then space their username, and again, I type in the first couple of letters of their name, and then I hit tab, and then space whatever your message is to them. And that, at first it'll look like nothing happened, but if you do a control N, you'll find that it actually opened up a little kind of a private channel between you and that user. Now, if they're not talking back to you, it's either because they didn't notice that they got a PM, although it will, they should notice it. I mean, in IRSSI, it pops up, you know, with a little red number or red letter, whatever they're using in their status bar, so that they see that, hey, a new channel has opened up and it's got your name in it, so what do you want to do about that? And they'll control N over and talk back to you. Or maybe they're too busy, or maybe they're not at the keyboard, or just, you know, maybe they don't want to talk to you. But that's how you do a private message. /msg /username /message. And after that, like I say, it opens up a little channel, so then you don't have to do that anymore. You just type in the message to them in that channel. And then it is a private conversation, or as private as anything on the internet is, but that's definitely a good way to private message people, talk to people. Okay, so the configuration file of IRSSI is a good thing to have. A good IRSSI config file is nice, because that way when you sign into, when you start IRSSI, you can have a whole series of scripts occur for you, and you don't have to type in message, nick, serve, identify, password, join Linux cranks, join lot of Linux links, join Linux basement, join Fedora, join /slackware, join, you know, all these things that you want to do. You don't have to do that if you have a config file that is properly configured. And now, the big one that everyone knows and loves, at least in the, you know, little podcast IRC community, Timrit, T-I-M-R-I-T, Timrit's config file. His file is famous, mainly because he bragged about it nonstop at Ohio Linux Fest in last year, 2008, but no, I'm just kidding. Actually, he didn't, but people were asking him for it, you know, because it was such a cool-looking configuration. He's very humble about it and says that there's not anything really that special about it, but it is pretty nice. He's got, like, you know, lots of cool stuff on his IRSSI screen, and if you really want to see his IRSSI screen, you can look him up on unixporn.com. It's not porn. Config files, I mean, you can hit Timrit up, you know, I mean, be nice to him, try to become his friend just so you can get his config file, but don't tell him that's what you're doing. And then once you've gained his trust, you know, then slip in, like, just, hey, can I have your IRSSI config file? And he'll probably think that you're really his friend and give it to you. And then you can abandon him and stop talking to him. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. He's a nice guy. But a lot of this stuff can be done from IRSSI itself. So the way to do it, first of all, would be, let's say that there's a server that you are always connecting to, okay? That would eliminate the step /server irc.freenode.net, right? So we would just go from irssi-nick-notclat2 to then joining the channels that we want to join. That would be kind of handy. So what you do is you type in /server /add /auto. So obviously that is, the command is server, right? The option that we're using is add rather than say, I don't know, remove. And then the switch that we're using is auto. And then the last switch we want to use is -network. And then we do /freenode /irc.freenode.net /6667. What was all that? Okay, again, the command was server and then add, and then we said auto, so that means it's going to auto-join the server, or auto-connect to the server. And we're naming the network Freenode, and that's just kind of for our own reference and stuff. And then we're saying, okay, the exact address of Freenode is irc.freenode.net. And then the port that we want to connect to is 6667. 6667 is the port that Freenode uses to connect, you know, all of its users. So if you want to sign on, you're going to 6667. And the way that you would know that is that you would look in your status screen. You know, when you first did the /server /irc.freenode.net, you'll see that it's connecting to irc.freenode.net:667, or I mean 6667, or port 6667. Or something like that, but it says right there in the status menu. So, I mean, status window. So, that's how you would know that sort of thing. Now, the point of this is that that command adds that server to your config file. So, if you have a copy of your config file before you run that command, and then you got another copy of that config file after you ran that command, and you did a diff on it, the lines that would be different would be that you want to auto-join a server, and that you're calling it Freenode, and that the exact address of it is irc.freenode.net, and the port that you're going to connect via is 6667. So that's what that does. Now, you can add other servers, you can do whatever you need to do, but that is that's a really handy one also. Now, what you can also do is do a /network /add /nick /notclat2/freenode. Ah, so what does that do? Well, that says that on a network, I want you to add a network with the nickname not Klaatu, and the network that that nickname is associated with is Freenode. And again, we've already defined what quote-unquote Freenode is in the previous command. And you can do the same thing with a channel. So if I don't want to always type in join Linux Cranks and join Linux Basement and a lot of Linux links and Linux Reality and SBOPKG and Slack, you know, whatever, you just simply do a slash channel space add space dash auto space hash Linux Cranks space Freenode. And now it's going to join that channel automatically. Okay, so now we've abandoned the slash server command because we're doing that automatically in our config file. And we've abandoned the slash join command because we're going to do all of our joins automatically in the config file. Well, what if we could even get rid of the nickserve identify, the slash message nickserve identify command, where we give our password? Believe it or not, that can be automated as well in your config file. And the way that you do that is a slash network space add space dash auto send command, which is AUTOSENDCMD. Okay, so that's auto send CMD. And that's all one word. So it's just dash AUTOSENDCMD space, and then a double quote, slash message space nickserve space identify space your password space semicolon wait space, I don't know, 3,000, close quotes. And then the name of the network, Freenode. And what that does is it's gonna wait till, you know, you've had time to log in onto the server, join the channels and stuff, and then it's gonna send one extra command, which is the message nickserve identify your password. And again, you just do all that on that specific network because your password will be different. Your nick and your password might be different on a different network, and you may be joining lots of different networks. I mean, not everyone uses Freenode. There are other networks out there. There's OFTC.net, which a lot of projects will use. There are a whole host of IRC networks out there. So, you know, you might want to join lots of different networks. You can do that. But for this particular one, it's slash network space add space dash auto send command space double quote the command, a semicolon and how long you want to wait, close the quote, and then the name of the network, which is, as we've called it, Freenode. Now, that has automated everything, pretty much. I mean, all the repetitious kind of stuff that you're going to do when you sign on to a network, it's all automated now. So all you would have to do, literally, to start IRSSI is simply type in IRSSI. And if you really want to know how lazy I can be, I literally have a bash alias assigned so that if I just hit the letter I and return, and that starts IRSSI. I know, that's really bad, but, I mean, that's what Bash is for, right? I mean, it's supposed to make my life easier, so that's what I do. Now, there are a lot of other cool things that you can do. Like I say, the slash help is a good one, and the results of slash help are always going to appear in your server, in your status window over, you know, where you first signed into your server. So you might have to control N or control P around for it a little bit, but that's where it'll be. And then you can do a slash help on whatever command you want more information on. So if you do slash help, you might see commands about, you know, you might see a command who is, and so you might want to know more about this who is. So you could type slash help who is, and then it'll tell you all the different options that you might want to use on who is. So you can get a lot done that way. There are those internet search engines out there, from what I understand, and they'll tell you all kinds of things about IRSSI that probably I don't even know about. I'm sure you can learn quite a bit from that stuff. Now, one really important command that you're going to need at some point is the slash ignore command. Slash ignore is what you do when you are finding, this is a great command, this is what you do when someone comes into the channel and they're being obnoxious, and they're trolling, or they're just being stupid, or they just annoy you, or whatever. You just do a slash ignore and then their username, and it's like they're gone. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like when you're at the, you know, when you're at school or when you're at home and someone's like yelling at you or talking really, you know, just saying stuff that you don't hear about or whatever, and in your mind you just think, man, I wish I could just turn them off. That's what you can do in IRC, okay? That's why so many geeks live in IRC, because in IRC you can actually do that. You can zap people right out of existence. Slash ignore, and then their nickname, and they are gone. It is like they are not even there. It's really, really nice. Last but not least, there are a lot of plugins. IRSSI has a pretty robust system of plugins. Quite often you'll see things in your repository that are, you know, just collections of IRSSI plugins. But one that I just now started using was one that I saw listed on the Planet Debian blog, and it's such that you can actually rename the little numbers representing your channels to letters, so that it's more, you know, it makes more sense to you. Like, I might use C for Linux Cranks, or F for Fedora, or S for Slackware. And that way I know exactly which channel is being, you know, there's activity in, rather than just seeing random little numbers pop up. And there are others out there that you should check out if you're interested in kind of adding, you know, pimping your IRSSI even more. And then finally, the one command that I guess people don't really mention a whole lot, but which I find myself using a fair amount, especially since a lot of times, at least once you, if you get entrenched in any kind of project that's organizing itself online, probably eventually you are going to be in an IRC channel talking about, you know, this venture, this project, whatever you're doing, whatever you're working on. And a lot of times it's quite handy to log the sessions. You may also want to just log them if you, I don't know if you're an archivist by nature. I'm not, but, you know, there are those who are, and so you can certainly archive everything that goes on in an IRC channel as long as you've got that window open, or rather, as long as you're signed onto that server and everything. And the way that you do that is /log /targets /hash/linux cranks /tilde/documents/irc/log/linux cranks /linux cranks -%y%m%d. Okay, what was all that? So /log invokes the log command, and then /open, don't really know what that does. It just makes it so that it's actually working. /targets is the target of what you want to log. And you can actually, I mean, you could just log all the messages from and to a certain nickname. So if you did a /targets notclatu, then all that would get logged is everything that notclatu either says or that is said to notclatu. But what I just did was /targets and then /linux cranks. So that's going to log everything. And then space and then just whatever path you want to save that file to. So I usually do like a /documents/irclogs/name-of-the-channel/linux-cranks/linux-cranks-%y will give you the year, -%m will give you the month, -%d will give you the day. And the way I devised all that was I just did a /help log in IRSSI, and it told me how exactly to do that. So it really is helpful, that /help. So that's the logging function. So if anyone ever says, you know, is anyone logging this or can someone log this? That's all you have to do is do that log command, and it'll log everything that's said or what, however you want to do it to a file on your computer, and then you've got that whole session. So it's kind of cool. And the only reason I mention it is because I find myself using it a lot, and it's just one of those things that you kind of need to know to do in IRSSI, because a lot of the like conversation, I think, and Pigeon, I think they both have plugins where it will do the logs for you, and it might even be automatic. And I guess you could probably like auto send command the log command as well if you like literally want to log everything every time you go into IRC. I do not, but if you're just like a pack rat and an archivist that way, then you could probably do that. But that's how you do it in IRSSI. And that's all I know in IRSSI, really. I mean, that's it. That's it. That's IRSSI. I hope that helped. It sounds like it's time for a cup of coffee. So why don't you go get yourself a cup of coffee, and I'll go get myself a cup of coffee, and we'll come back and enjoy it together as we continue the show. Kernel. Now, I did a compiling Linux kernel episode, actually almost a mini-series. I think it might have just been, I'm trying to think if it was a two- or a three-parter for Hacker Public Radio. It might have just been a two-parter, so that doesn't really qualify. But anyway, it was an episode on Linux kernel compilation. The first time I compiled the kernel was, and that, you know, that sounds like a great new series for Hacker Public Radio. Monster B should take that idea from me. You know how Monster B is doing the How I Found Linux series. He should do, like, when was the first time you compiled the kernel series? That would be cool. But the first time I compiled the kernel was, I think, on my first installation of Slackware. And people are groaning and saying, yeah, well, that's what you get for using Slackware. Well, I'll have you know that having compiled the kernel from the very beginning of my Linux usage, it was actually quite helpful, because ever since then, it's been quite undaunting to compile a kernel, and I rather enjoy it. But yes, so, you know, I installed Linux on my new Sony Vaio, which, by the way, is a horrible computer. Never buy a Sony. I installed it on there, and wouldn't you know it, the there were no drivers for the wireless card, actually. So, yeah, that's what I did. I installed it, and I had to recompile it, or at least I thought I did, in order to include those drivers. And I believe, if I recall correctly, that did not fix the problem, because I didn't quite understand that in order to get the driver in there, I had to have the code for the driver. So, oh well. But, yeah, so that's when I first compiled the kernel, and that was fun. And ever since then, there's been a certain interest in this whole kernel thing, and what it does and how it works. Now, to that end, I've talked to people about kernels, kernelography. Monster B and Peter 64, they both, for a while there, they were in the Lotta Linux Link channel. They were compiling kernels compulsively every night. I mean, it was a little bit ridiculous. I really have no idea what they were doing, but it's kind of cool too at the same time, because you do that a couple of dozen times and you start to really get familiar with the process, and that's kind of cool. There's a book that I'm reading right now called Understanding the Linux Kernel, and this is by it's an O'Reilly book, of course, and it's called it's by a guy named Daniel P. Bovit and Marco Cesati, and it's a good book. It's a really good book. It's Understanding the Linux Kernel from I/O ports to process management, and it truly is from I/O ports and process management. It covers everything you could ever want to know, or at least a lot of things that you could ever want to know. You know, timing and synchronizing, interrupt cycles, IRQs, memory management, processes, how to see what processes spawned other processes. I mean, it's just, actually, no, it doesn't do that. That's on a different book. But yeah, it does a lot of cool, it gives you a lot of really helpful and really cool information. So check that book out if you're interested in the Linux kernel. It even compares the Linux kernel to other kernels and kind of shows you what it, you know, what certain differences are, you know, why a monolithic kernel is monolithic, advantages, disadvantages, etc. So check that book out if you're interested in that sort of thing. But the real thing that I'm talking about here is kernelnewbies.org. Now, kernelnewbies.org is a place where it basically takes the release notes or the change log for the most recent Linux kernel, whatever that might be. At the time of this recording, it's 2.6.30 and 2.6.30, and it breaks all of the new features down for you. It's a really great site. You should check it out if you have any interest in what's going on in the Linux kernel. And keep in mind that truly the Linux kernel is one of the most important parts of your system. A lot of stuff is going on there. And if you were running a different kernel, you would experience a whole different environment in some ways. And to get a real feel for that, even more so than just installing a different kernel, to get a real feel for the way that, you know, for some of the features of your operating system, looking at what the kernel has incorporated into it is kind of a cool thing to do. And like I say, the easiest way to do that is kernel newbies, and they spell newbies, newbies.org/linux-changes, and that's with a capital L and a capital C. So that'll take you straight to the changes in the kernel. It'll hit you with some of the top features at first, and then it goes into greater detail. And so, especially, I mean, if you're looking for something specific, you know, if you've got a fancy new wireless card or something, or some kind of new, you know, peripheral or something, you want to see if there's support in the kernel for that, kernelnewbies.org. So check that site out. It's really interesting. It's very informative. And like I say, it's kind of cool to read it, because you kind of get a sense of what's happening at that very core of your OS. It's really nice to kind of get a feel for, oh, okay, this is now in my kernel. This is going to change things for me. KernelNewbies.org. day there were lots of BBSs, bulletin board systems or something, and people would sign on to these things with those loud modems, and they would do stuff on them. Not quite clear on what they did. I guess they like played games and read documents. But the point is that Cobra 2, who is the guy I interviewed in episode 404 or 405, and he was talking about I have no idea what he was talking about, but he's from Southeast Linux Fest. And he was on that Moonshine episode on the Hacker Public Radio. And he's an admin on Unix porn, so that's who this guy is. He was in IRC, and he was talking about some old-school podcasts, or as they were called at that time, internet radio shows. And he asked if anyone was listening to them, and I told him I listened to Radio Freak America as often as I could. And he hit me with this URL to textfiles.com/I don't remember. But naturally, I went to the top level of the domain, as I usually do when someone sends me a link. I like to see like what site it's on as well, just out of curiosity, And it turns out that Text Files is this huge archive that is being maintained and kept online of a whole bunch of stuff from sort of that BBS culture and BBS world of old. This is all being archived and maintained by Jason Scott. And Jason Scott, if you don't know the name, I only know the name because he's mentioned a lot of times in some of the places that I kind of hang out in. But he's some guy who apparently is sort of an archivist, and he writes a lot. I mean, you'll see him write articles in 2600, the most recent issue of 2600. He did the Hacker Perspective article. And he's talking about that historical aspect of hacker culture. He was also at The Last Hope doing a radio show, a call-in show, and I actually called in and asked him about a BBS documentary that he did. So the guy knows his stuff, and he seems like a nice guy when I spoke to him, so that was cool. And his site is really, really nice. It's got a very sort of personal feel to it, it's just like, it's very much like his little homepage almost, but he's presenting all this information to you, so it's a really good source of that history, that sense of history. And the heart of the site, more so than archiving old internet radio shows or podcasts as we call them now, are the so-called obviously text files, right? So these are files that would be kind of passed around from BBS to BBS, I guess. And they're fantastic. And a lot of these files are just really, really unique and either historically of interest or they are still of interest. They're still applicable. It kind of depends on the article. But there's just all kinds of stuff on here, really, all kinds of stuff. If I click on just a random category, he kind of divides them into different categories. Black Code Ravers Magazine, issue number 2. Black Ops by Mr. Dark. Fun with Bod Spray. That Book That Shall Not Be Named. Better Homes and Bootstrapping. The Birth of Freaking. The Boredom FAQ. How to Write Batch Trojans. The Bungee Box. How to Burn Movies. Toll-Free Busy Lines. Ersatz presents an essay discussing buying versus downloading, bypassing the new EAS anti-shoplifting devices, ANI and caller ID, how to successfully burn CDRs, report Cannery Row, how to get a girl on Yahoo Cam, how to get cable TV with foil, what's a cult, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, just everything you could possibly think of, it's just, it's on here. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Definitely check this site out. This is the kind of site that you'll start reading something and you will look up and it will be 8 hours later. You'll have no idea how you got there, no idea what you've just read. You may be completely enlightened or you might have just been reading complete nonsense. It just really depends on the choices that you make. It's like an RPG game in itself. Just, make wise decisions and you might learn something, make bad decisions and you will come out stupider. But either way, you'll have gotten a sense of BBS culture, BBS history, and it's a good read. And, if you're into that kind of that kind of feel, that kind of net, that kind of network, you might want to check out, again, and I've mentioned these before, but you might want to check out sdf.loanstar.org, which is a shell account from a place, I think it's in like Seattle or something. They run, I think it is NetBSD, and for $36 you can get membership for life, and you can get a lot of, you can get SSH privileges and stuff like that. For free, you can get membership for as long as you use your membership, and then if you're inactive for a certain number of days, they will kill your account. But that's something to look into. The other one, of course, is the one that I mentioned just a couple of episodes ago, shellium.org, that they have free shell accounts as well. Either of those two, I mean, I can speak definitely for sdf.loanstar.org. They have a very BBS-like structure to them. They've, you know, they've got the bulletin board, the forum sort of thing. They've got games, online games, kind of sort of like little MUDs and stuff. So, yeah, those are fun. And if you're into that, yeah, get a shell account and start living the dream. Or if you just want to sort of relive it, just go to TextFiles and enjoy yourself. Ohio Linux Fest. Apparently it's going to be bigger and better than ever this year. That is what they are telling me. And I am actually on the planning committee this year, so I'm doing a little bit of help. Well, originally I thought I was going to be helping out with just like the program design like I did for Southeast Linux Fest. But now it looks like I'm actually sort of planning out one of the days. And the day that I'm planning out specifically is the Friday. September 25th. So on September 25th, what's going to happen is from about 1300 to 2000, there are going to be talks before the talks. You know, we're very excited about it. It should be a lot of fun. I went for the first time last year, and it was a lot of fun. I met people who I knew only via IRC previously, so that was really cool. And just in general, you find a really good community feel and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't know expos or festivals you've been to in terms of like the technical stuff, but a lot of them are very business minded and kind of IT industry esque. You know, there are a lot of IT people who don't really have a love for Linux. They just, or a hatred. It's a tool to them. Whereas these fests and stuff get all the real nerds and geeks and freaks together who just like really like Linux and really like Unix, you know, and they're like irrationally excited about the topic. And frankly, I mean, that's me, right? That's us. I mean, that's why I do a podcast. That's why you listen to as many Linux podcasts as you can find, and that one BSD one, and, you know, whatever else. So this is our people, you know, and we're all getting together in one location. So if you can make it to Ohio for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's going to be well worth it. And I mean, there's going to be so much, but I can say that on Friday there are going to be talks and Birds of a Feather meetings. On Saturday there's going to be the main talks and festivals and tracks and things like that. There's going to be the LOPSA IT administrator kind of series. And there's going to be a diversity and open source workshop. There's going to be a Free Geek function, which is really, really cool. This Free Geek thing, I mean, bring your sibling or your mom, your dad or your grandma or grandpa or whoever you want to bring, basically. But bring someone and tell them that if they pay, like, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks or whatever, they get to sit through a session on how to use Linux, you know, from the bottom up. And in the meantime, they get to build up a computer. And when they go home that day, they take the computer with them. Now, that's pretty cool, right? And this is all from Free Geek and stuff, you know, so they've got all this hardware, and you just pay a, I don't remember the exact price of that particular program, but it is very reasonable. I keep wanting to say $200, and my interview with Beth Lynn reveals the price, and the interview is on Hacker Public Radio, so check that out if you really need the details, or just go to OhioLinuxFest.org, or rather OhioLinux.org, and that will get you the pricing and everything. But the Free Geek thing, I just think that's really cool, and I'll tell you why. Because back on the West Coast, I went to a Unix class that was, I think, like a weekend or something. It was just like a few days, a little course in just kind of the basics or whatever. And it cost a couple of $100s, and I didn't get to bring home a computer. I got lots of great information, and I got all the lecture notes and stuff like that. I mean, the teacher was very, very good about this. He gave us all of his lecture notes printed out. I mean, a big, thick thing. I mean, the guy literally should write a book on the subject because his course was so good and his notes were so complete. I still have them, and I still refer to this stuff. But, I mean, I didn't get to take home the computer after the class. And so this thing is going to be one day of here's what Linux is, here's how to use it, here's everything you need to know. Oh, and by the way, take the computer with you. It's really phenomenal. I just think it's a great gimmick, you know. It's a really cool idea. So have people look into that if they're interested in learning Linux. And like I say, come to OhioLinux.org. I mean, come to Ohio Linux Fest if you can. It's going to be an exciting event. Lots of people are going to be there. It's a great opportunity to socialize, to learn. If you don't have a place to stay, there are lots of people looking for roommates and stuff. So just come to an IRC, one of the channels like Linux Cranks or a lot of Linux Links, you know, and ask around. See if someone needs an extra roommate. Because I think the hotel allows people to have four people in one room. And, you know, like, and if you see me, just say hi, and it'll be fun. So be there. Thank you. About all I can fit into one show, I think. So, again, my name is Klaatu. Email address is klaatu@hackrepublicradio.org or klaatu@linuxcranks.info. Either of those will get to me promptly. The website for this show is thebadapples.info, and that gets you the show notes and the old OG feeds for the past seasons and all the old show notes and stuff like that. My IM identity is notklaatu@jabber.org, so if you want to IM me, that's where I will be if I'm on. I'm not signed in that often, but if I am, that's where I will be. So thank you for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it and learned something and stuff like that. And I will talk to you next week, if not sooner, because I might see you in IRC or something, so... have a great week. Bye.
Number 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.